right, as we turn our attention to the Word this morning, I'm going to ask you to open with us to the book of Jonah. And Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're going to read together from those here in just a few minutes. We're finishing up this month, during the month of September, looking at I Am. Remember that God responded in Scripture when He was asked who He was with that simple phrase, those two words, I Am. What does that mean? Who is He? So we've been looking at that all this month. We started out in the first week by looking at I Am, who was a great big God, and talking about His power, His ability to create, His ability to control and have authority over all of creation. And then the next week we looked at the fact that He is a holy God. He is a holy God that is worthy of our worship. He desires for us, calls us to be holy as He is. Last week then we talked about God who is there. We talked about His presence and what His presence means for us. His presence brings comfort. His presence sometimes also brings conviction. We need both of those things. We talked about what it is to have a God who is present and there with us. This morning we're going to look at God's desire to redeem. God who redeems. And so I want to start off just by showing a couple of pictures to you. I don't know how many of you have ever, if any of you have ever restored an old car or seen an old car that was just in horrible shape to be restored and what it looked like afterwards. I'm going to show you a couple of those this morning. Here's the first one. That car has been sitting out and unattended for quite some time. Rust and paint peeling, and you can just tell this car is not one that anybody would be too proud of. They'd probably say, well, it gets me from point A to point B if it even does that anymore. Here's what it looks like after it was restored. Looks like a totally different car. I have no idea. I don't even know who did these or pictures that I found, but somebody spent a lot of time and energy and some money restoring that car. But it doesn't even look like the same car. Looks totally different. Here's the next one. Check this one out. This one, about the same condition, if not worse, can't even see through the windshield, or any of the windows for that matter. A lot of dust, and just it needs a good cleaning, and then some. You see a little bit of body damage there on the front fender, and then here's the same car after it was fully restored. Once again, somebody put a lot of time and effort and money into making that car look brand new again. Now here's what I want to call you to consider this morning about God who redeems. That's God's desire for your life and my life. See, God desires to redeem us and to redeem our lives the same way somebody desired to take those cars who were, for all practical purposes, looked abandoned and make them look brand new again. You ever had an experience with God like that? That's God's desire today for your life and my life. It's His desire for those who are our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. See, God's desire is always, always to redeem. To take one of those cars and to fix up the engine and make it run would be a good thing. You could go into a junkyard and find a car that looks like that and make it usable would be a good thing. But to make it look brand new, what a greater thing is that? And sometimes we get the idea that God just wants to come and save us and forgive our sins and make us okay and acceptable, and then we're okay and we're good to go. When in reality, what God desires to do is to fully and completely redeem and restore humanity that suffers under the weight of sin. Well, I don't know of any greater picture of it than that. I mean, you look at the before and after in those cars, and consider that's God's desire for fallen, sinful humanity today. There's two dangers for us in this. Two dangers. One danger is that we look at it and we say, well, of course God should redeem me. Of course God should make me new again. I deserve that. God needs to do that for me. The other danger is to say, you know what? My life, or the life of my friend, or the life of my coworker, or my family member, man, they are so far gone that God can't do anything for them. It's hopeless for them. Neither of those things is true. in the middle there somewhere is the truth. That we suffer under the weight of sin. And what we need is a Savior. What we need is redemption. What we need is God to redeem and make us new again. And the cool thing about it is that it's His desire to do just that. You know, some of the most dangerous sins for us, for anybody, are not the big ones. They're not the big ones that just look horrible that we know to avoid. You know, somebody comes to us and says to us we ought to do something, or we just are tempted and know of ourselves that we could do something, and we identify that as a huge, blatant sin, and we say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with that. Some of the most dangerous sins for us are the little ones. The little ones that just seem like a little bit of compromise. And then after a while, those little compromises begin to add up and we find ourselves in a position that we never desired to be. And sometimes we wonder, can I even get back? Can I even be restored to my fellowship with God? Is it too late for me? Listen to me, God's desire is to redeem. And we have a part to play in that. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But ultimately, we need to know that God's desire is to redeem us. I'm going to ask you to stand with me out of reverence for God and His Word. I'm going to read from Jonah chapter 4, if you'll follow along. We're going to go back and talk here in a few moments about the whole story of Jonah. We're going to read these three verses to kind of set the foundation for our discussion this morning. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord. Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Would you pray with me this morning? Our Father, this morning we come before you and we recognize, God, that our greatest need in this life is spiritual restoration and redemption. And Father, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to make that possible for us. But Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here this morning, for those who together will consider your word and what it means for us. Father, I pray that you would challenge us this morning, that it may be that we're here in this place and our need right now today is restoration. Our need right now here today may be that we've never been redeemed. We've never come to know Jesus and been redeemed by him. And today, that is our greatest need. Father, wherever we find ourselves this morning, I pray that through your word, you would make it plain to us. Father, help us to see you as God who desires to redeem and to see ourselves as ones that you desire to redeem. Father, speak to us this morning. Speak into our lives. Make us to know spiritual truth and call forth from us a response that honors and glorifies you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Jonah is one that at points you want to applaud. And at points, you want to go and grab Jonah, put your hand on his shoulders and shake him a little bit and say, what in the world is wrong with you? Because we find Jonah starting out. Jonah's a prophet. Jonah is going everywhere speaking spiritual truth and telling people that if they don't repent, God is going to bring judgment. And God gives Jonah a message and a place, and Jonah goes to that place and delivers that message. And everything was great until the day God says to Jonah, Jonah, it's time for you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I don't want to do that, because I know that God is a merciful God. I know that God is a forgiving God. And I know that if they repent, God won't bring judgment. And I want those people to get judgment. And so Jonah refuses to go to Nineveh. He goes the other way. And on the ship, as he's going the other direction, a storm comes and Jonah is basically caught. Because they cast lots, draw straws. And the lot falls to Jonah. And they all look at Jonah and say, Jonah, what in the world is wrong with you? What are you doing? Why is God so mad at you? And Jonah owns up to it. And he confesses it. And he says, listen, guys, this is all my fault. I'm a prophet. and I honor Yahweh. I worship Yahweh, and he sent me with a message, and I refused to take his message. And so this is punishment for me. And Jonah even goes so far as to say, if you'll throw me into the sea, the storm will stop and the rest of you will survive. And so they kind of wash their hands of Jonah's blood and say, this isn't our fault. God, Jonah told us to do this. And they throw Jonah overboard into the sea. And the storm dies down and they're safe. And Jonah assumes that his life is over. He assumes that's it. Nothing more that can be done because he ran from God and he was punished and this is it. And you read there in the whole of the second chapter. You read there in the second chapter of Jonah all of his prayer to God, in which he says, man, God, I deserve death, and you brought me salvation. God, I was at the depth of the sea and I was about to die, and God, you have made a way for me. And Jonah celebrates there in the second and third chapters. Jonah celebrates the fact that God sent salvation. God sent an opportunity to do it over again, a second chance. And Jonah celebrates that fact and how great God is and how merciful God is. Jonah recognizes that he deserved punishment, but God sent grace and God sent renewal and an opportunity for a second chance. And then he goes back to Nineveh. And he goes around the city of Nineveh to all of the people and he says, you must repent, you must repent, or God is going to send judgment. And the people listen and they begin to repent, and the word gets to the king and the king demands that they repent. And God does just what he said he would do if they would repent. He doesn't send judgment. And so Jonah, wise and experienced of a prophet as he is, goes up onto the side of the mountain and looks out over the city and grumbles. Because God relented. And he basically says, God, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know why you did that. I knew you would. It's why I didn't want to take them their message. And then in those verses that we read, he says what we read there at the end in verse 3. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me that to die than to live. Jonah is so upset and so frustrated and so mad at God that God gave grace to somebody other than just Jonah, that he sits up there and he says, God, just take my life. It's better for me to die. Jonah, what are you thinking? Sometimes you want to praise Jonah. And sometimes you just want to strangle Jonah. Because sometimes he gets it and sometimes he totally misses the point. And the good thing about it, though, for Jonah is that God isn't done with him yet. And God causes a plant to grow and it provides shade. And then the sun comes and the plant dies and Jonah complains. And God says, no, wait a second, Jonah, why are you complaining? Well, God, I'm complaining because the plant was giving me shade and it's gone now. And God says, really, Jonah, you're that upset about something that you had nothing to do with? And all of these people whom I love and whom I care about, I have given them an opportunity for redemption. And they took it. And that you're upset about. And we're not really told what happens after that. We don't really know what Jonah said or did or thought. We can only hope that Jonah finally got it. Jonah finally understood. Listen to me. God is a God who redeems. I want to share with you this morning three things about redemption. But here's the first. God's desire to redeem is for those who are broken. God's desire to redeem is for those who are broken. Jonah did not deserve redemption. Jonah willingly ran from God and from God's assignment. It wasn't that Jonah made a little mistake. Jonah made a calculated decision not only to disobey God, but to deny somebody else the opportunity to hear God's truth in the midst of it as he ran from God. Jonah was truly in sin. Jonah was truly in rebellion, open, deliberate rebellion against God. And yet God extended to Jonah an opportunity for redemption. I used to drive past a body shop every morning on my way to work. And I would always see people stopping and dropping off their cars at the body shop. Do you know I never saw somebody dropping an unblemished car off at the body shop in the morning? They always had some kind of problem. They'd been in a wreck. They had a ding in the fender, a broken window. Occasionally you'd see a wrecker out there dropping off a car because it wasn't even drivable anymore. Nobody took their unblemished car into the body shop. And you wouldn't expect them to, right? Listen to me. God's desire to redeem is for those who are spiritually broken. And we're not talking about bad circumstances. We're not talking about just problems in life. If you're looking to God to fix all the problems in your life, you've missed the point. God's desire is to take those who are spiritually broken, spiritually separated from Him, those who are ultimately in deserving of spiritual death because of their rebellion against God. God's desire is to take those who are spiritually broken and make them spiritually whole. That's His desire. That's what He wants to do. Whether that's in your life, whether that's in the life of somebody else that you know, whether that's in the life of somebody that you like or don't like. Jonah wanted to deny the Ninevites an opportunity for that kind of redemption because he didn't like them. Not only is Jonah running from God, Jonah is denying that kind of redemption to somebody else, and yet God extends redemption to Jonah in the process. Listen to me, God's desire is to take those who are spiritually broken and make them spiritually whole again. And maybe you're here this morning and you have never had that experience before. You have never met Jesus and come to know Jesus in a way that takes you from spiritual death and brokenness to spiritual wholeness and redemption before God. And to you this morning, I would say that's God's greatest desire and His call today in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and I met Jesus a long time ago. And you'd say, you know what, I've been following, walking with Jesus for a long, long time. But maybe over the years, you have kind of derailed a little bit. Jonah was faithful. Jonah was walking with God until the day came Jonah just decided not to do that anymore. And maybe that's you. Maybe at some point you just decided, I'm not going to walk with God anymore. Maybe at some point you made a little decision and another little decision and another little decision. And little by little you got off track and you realize today that God is calling you to come back. Listen to me. God's desire is to take those who are spiritually broken and bring spiritual wholeness. Whether that means you are spiritually dead because you've never come to know Christ, or that means that you are spiritually in a time of drought. You're in spiritual drought in your life because over time you have made little decision after little decision after little decision that has so derailed you that you're in spiritual drought and apart from God. And what you need today is to be restored to the fellowship that you have with Him through Christ. God's desire is to redeem those who are broken. Number two. God's desire to redeem may require His judgment to get you there. His desire to redeem you may require that He brings judgment into your life to get you there. Jonah did not get an easy pass. Jonah did not get a get-out-of-jail-free card. God did not swoop down supernaturally on the ship headed to Tarshish and lift Jonah up and take Jonah back to land, and that was the end of it. Jonah had to own up to his sin. Jonah had to confess that he deserved to be thrown overboard and put to death so that the others may live. Jonah didn't know what was going to happen. Jonah did not say, if you throw me overboard, God will rescue me and I'll get a second chance. That is not what Jonah knew or thought even could happen. As far as Jonah knew, he was going to be thrown overboard and he was going to die because he was in rebellion against God. But in that moment, God had an opportunity to call Jonah back to redemption and to call him from the place of rebellion to a place of fellowship and obedience and redemption. But it required conviction and judgment for him to get there. So often we rebuff the idea of God bringing any kind of correction or conviction into our life. We reject the notion that God needs to convict us or judge us or God needs to correct us. And when we feel as though the Holy Spirit is convicting us of something, and we feel that conviction, our normal tendency is to push it off, to rationalize it, or sometimes just to plain run from it. And sometimes we recognize that we have to make a choice. We either respond to it and we deal with it, or we run from it and we run from God in the process. And sometimes God lets us run. God lets us go for a while. Do your thing. Do what you want to do. Jonah got on board the ship. Everything was great. They were out sailing, out at sea. Everything was great. Jonah's in down in the bottom of the ship taking a nap because everything is great. God let Jonah get a ways away. And then God found him. And he found him in such a way that Jonah knew that he couldn't escape judgment any longer. There was nothing he could do to get away from it. And there are going to be times in our lives when God is going to do that. And you're going to think that you've run from God and you've hidden from God and God has left you alone and the conviction is gone and everything is great. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're going to realize God isn't done with you yet. Maybe that's today. Maybe you're here today and you think, you know, I've been running from God and today God found me again. Maybe you're here today and you think, I've been running from God for a while and God ain't found me yet. I ain't worried. That's fine. Neither was Jonah. But when the time was right, God came. And God found him. And God brought judgment in a way that allowed for Jonah's redemption. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at these two verses with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father, the son he delights in. Verse 12. Let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 3:12 there, Joe. Oh, it's on there. I'm sorry. Thank you. They're both on the same slide together. The same way a father disciplines a child. You don't discipline a child because you hate them. You discipline a child because you love them. You discipline a child because you're demonstrating to them that there are bounds within which they're to live. And when they cross those boundaries, it's not safe. It's not good for them. And the best case scenario is that they live happily and joyfully within those bounds. And you discipline them to show them that. You discipline them to remind them, to motivate them, to help them see and teach them what it is to live within the bounds that God has set for them and that you as their parent or grandparent or caretaker have been given to establish and preserve for them. And Scripture says that God does the same thing for us. That we sometimes find ourselves under the Lord's discipline, not because he hates us, not because he's given up on us, not because we're too far gone for him to save, but because he desires our redemption and he disciplines us in order to bring it about in our lives. That was Jonah's experience. Sometimes that's our need. Sometimes what we need is to experience God's judgment. What we need is to experience the lack of God's presence, the lack of God's active presence and being at work. And sometimes it is God at work when we feel that way. So don't throw a pity party. Don't sit down and throw your hands up in the air and say, well, forget it, it's all over, I can't do anything now. Well, gee, God is judging me and God has allowed this time of spiritual drought in my life, it's all over and there's nothing more that I can do. It may just be God's way of bringing you to the point of being ready for redemption. God wants to redeem you. God wants to reclaim you. God wants to bring you back to the place of fellowship and obedience and enjoying His presence in life. God's redemption may require His judgment to get you there. Number three. If you're taking notes this morning, here's number three. God's desire to redeem brings a changed heart, renewal, and restoration. To take one of those old cars that we looked at and to drag it out and put a minimal amount of money into it so it'll putt-putt along and barely get from point A to point B was not the desire for the cars that you saw in those pictures a few minutes ago. It wasn't about just doing the bare minimum to make them operational. It was about fully restoring them to their beauty and their glory and what they looked like when they rolled off the assembly line, or better than that even. Listen to me. God's desire for redemption in your life, in the lives of your friends and family and co-workers, God's desire for redemption is not about the bare minimum just to make you operational or them operational. It's about full redemption and restoration from the inside out. So often we respond the same way that Jonah did. Listen, Jonah did not change his heart. Jonah did not change his mind. Jonah changed only his behavior. And he went and he did the same things, had the same attitude. He just behaved differently. And in the end, the same attitude shone through. Jonah goes from running from God to being so thankful and just praising God for redemption. And he goes and he does what God told him to do. And everybody around would look at that and say, man, look at Jonah. God changed Jonah. Jonah's on the right track. Jonah's doing so well. Except that as soon as the people that he's just preached to repent, Jonah goes up on the mountainside and he complains and grumbles to God that they repented. See, Jonah didn't change his heart. Jonah didn't change from the inside out. Jonah was still the same selfish, bitter person that he was when he was on the ship headed to Tarshish. His redemption was not yet complete. His behavior had changed, but his redemption wasn't full and complete. Listen to me. God's desire is not to change your behavior. God's desire is to redeem you from the inside out. Your behavior should change. Like Jonah should have gone back to Nineveh. That was the right thing. But not just because God told him to. Jonah should have gone to Nineveh and loved those people and just poured his life into them and said, do you not know how great God is? What a great testimony that would have been for Jonah to walk through Nineveh and say, guys, let me tell you what I did, and let me tell you how great God is, and let me tell you how wonderful God is. But he didn't. He said, God's going to punish you. You need to repent. They repented, and then Jonah grumbled. God's desire in redemption is to change you. God did not send Jesus to the cross just to get you to heaven someday. God sent you, Jesus went to the cross to redeem you, to restore you, to make you spiritually whole again, and to change who you are from the inside out. You ever heard a child say, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, only to turn around and do the same thing again? I won't ask for a show of hands how many here of us are guilty of doing that, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And yet sometimes that's the idea we get when we hear about redemption and we hear what God wants to do. That God just wants me to be good again and not do that anymore. Listen, God wants to do something much greater, much deeper, much more meaningful than that. God wants to change you. You look through Scripture at the people that met Jesus. They didn't walk away the same person. Did their behavior change? A lot of times, yes. But it didn't change just because they said, I've got to be good now. It changed because they were a whole new person. Nicodemus. Remember the wee little man that climbed the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see? He changed. He restored many times over that which he had stolen. Saul became Paul. He even had to change his name because he changed so much. And on it goes. Folks who came and they met Jesus and they were never the same again. Peter was a loudmouth that did lots of talking in his life. His body didn't live up to most of what he said. He went from saying, "Jesus, I'll die with you," to just a few hours later saying, "Who, Jesus? I don't know who that is." And yet after the resurrection, when Peter saw Jesus face to face, they had a little conversation. Peter became the most passionate proclaimer of spiritual truth. Peter became the one to lead the ministry that Jesus had started. Why? Because Jesus changed Peter. Only he was really changed this time. He didn't slip back into the old ways anymore. He was a brand new Peter. And sometimes we get the idea that if we just come to church and we read our Bibles and we pray, we say the right things and we do the right things, that God is going to be pleased with us. We'll have good behavior and God will be happy and everything will be okay. If that's your expectation for your relationship with God, your expectation for what Jesus can do and wants to do in your life, you're missing out. In fact, it begs the question of whether you really met Jesus or not, or if you're just pretending. Because those who meet Jesus are changed. They're never the same again. And so I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to consider this morning. If you're here and you say, "I'm following Jesus. I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved." What in your life right now, today, would be different if it weren't for Jesus? And I'm not talking about the kind of house you have, the kind of friends you have, the joys in your life. I'm talking who you are spiritually. And you may not be able to put your finger on any one individual thing. You may. But ultimately, if you can't look back in your life and look at who you were and when you met Jesus and who you are today and see a big difference between who you were and who you are today, if there's not a difference there where you can identify going from spiritual brokenness to spiritual wholeness, if you don't embrace God's correction, you're not willing to surrender to God's desire to fully redeem and change you from the inside out, if that's not you, then you need to really ask God and really do business with whether or not you've ever really met Jesus. Because God's desire is to redeem and to change. And so what is God calling you to today? What's God's desire in your life today? Because if you've never experienced that kind of redemption, then that's God's desire for you. If you are in a time, in a season of spiritual drought in your life, it may be that God's desire is to redeem and to restore and to bring you back. It may be that you're experiencing that and you walked in here this morning just overwhelmed and thankful and grateful for Jesus and for his redemption in your life and making you that new creation that Scripture says that you are. But there is somebody else in your life that needs it. And God's call to you to be the messenger, to be the voice, to demonstrate, to live it out, to proclaim spiritual truth for them, that they too may understand that God desires to redeem them. I don't know how God would call you to respond to this morning. I don't know where you are and where God would call you to be, but I know this. We serve a God who redeems. And this morning, your greatest need maybe that redemption. not in part, not changed behavior, not just a little more happiness, but a whole new identity. Who he created you to be in the first place. And it may be this morning that your need is for God to redeem and to restore you, to take you from spiritual brokenness, spiritual death, separation from God, and to bring you to a place of spiritual wholeness through Christ to be redeemed. You do business with God about that this morning. Before you leave this place this morning, you make sure that's right before God. Not because you're somehow going to convince God that you're worthy of it, because you're not. Not because you're going to bring good gifts or good works and you're just going to give them as a gift to God. God, look at my behavior and look at the things that I can do. Here they are, God. It's a gift to you. Baloney. Because God desires to redeem all of you. To make you whole again. Spiritually whole. And if you've never met Jesus in a way that changed your life like that, maybe this morning you need to meet Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning for this time together. God, thank you that you desire to redeem us. Thank you, Father, that you love us enough to call us. You made a way for us. You provided Jesus to be the one to stand in the gap, make it possible for us to be made whole and to be made new again. And Father, I pray this morning for those here who are struggling with that in their life today. God, I pray that your Spirit would make that real, that it would make, God, make that known to them, make that clear to them in such a way that, God, they can respond to and they can see and sense you at work. God, call them from spiritual brokenness to spiritual wholeness. And Father, I pray this morning for those who are here in spiritual drought. God, they've just drifted out of fellowship with you, and they've made some little decisions, one after another, that has led them totally somewhere completely different than where you've called them to be spiritually. And so, Father, this morning I pray, make your presence known to them. Draw them back to you. Father, would you speak to us this morning? God, show us, show each of us how we can respond, how we need to respond to your truth. Make your presence known. Change us, Father. Don't let us be like Jonah, but call us to true and real redemption. God, may you be honored and glorified. May the world around us see your redemption at work in our lives. Call us to that, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.